Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Rod Oram this morning. Kia ora, Rod. How are you today?
Marina, very well, thank you. Rachel.
Plenty to get stuck into this morning. Let's start with the UK. There is a lot going on over there. What's happened to the pound? Liz Truss is only 3 weeks into the job, and it's not looking great. What's going on?
Her plans to borrow to give a very large tax cut to the highest taxpayers, and submitting that plan without any forecasting or modelling from Treasury has deeply upset the markets. So the pound is now at an all-time low since floating exchange rates. It's recovered a bit in the last day or so, but it's very fragile. But more extraordinarily, in some respects, is that the Bank of England, which only said a few weeks ago it was finally ending quantitative easing, the creation of money to take the pressure off the economy during COVID, it was having to reinstitute quantitative easing to support the pound and to try to settle the markets down. And then on top of that, the IMF has been incredibly critical of these decisions by Truss's government. I have never seen the IMF being so critical about what would normally be considered a reasonably sensible country and government, because it's not just the policies themselves which are going to be very damaging, and it's a huge punt that somehow this is going to trigger a great deal of growth, but it's the cavalier attitude towards normal process, i.e. Having sort of third party and Treasury assessment of those plans. And the only parallel I can think of in terms of the turmoil goes back 30 years to 1992, when John Major was Prime Minister, and the UK had a terrible shock as the exchange rate mechanism with the euro broke down. But I think in many ways this is worse.
Now, we're looking down the barrel of a very dark winter for the UK as well. There's already been a lot of discussion about the cost of power that's been projected to be higher than it's ever been. We're looking at multiple times what people are currently paying. How are these two things going to, I guess, sit together? What's it going to mean for everyday people in the UK?
Truss also announced a plan to cap household costs on power that would possibly cost about 120 or 30 billion pounds over the course of the winter. And that in alone would have been fine as a policy, and it would have taken some of the pressure off households, but it would still be fairly intense, particularly as we now see the Russians moving into a new phase, as them being very likely they had planted undersea explosives that severed the two Nord Stream gas pipelines. So that was kind of a new form of economic warfare on the part of Russia, because even though very little gas was coming through there, it was very clearly signaling that the new pipeline that's just going to be opened up from Norway could theoretically be exposed to exactly the same sort of military action as the Nord Stream one was by Russia. So you've got all those geopolitics going on one end, but being able to cap prices in the UK was a good first step on energy, but Truss refused to put in place an excess profit levy on energy companies, and so she went off half-cocked in only doing one of the two logical things to do. But with these new plans about doing away with the 45% tax rate on top of the tax structure, and the considerable borrowing to fund the gap that leaves in government finances, means that she has no firepower left fiscally to do other things. So that's the extraordinary situation she's put herself in, and her Chancellor of the Exchequer seems very weak, and there's already a fair amount of word in Whitehall that there's tensions between them, which of course they deny.
Well, it's not a good start to the job for Liz Truss. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to talk about in the coming weeks. We've got some other big ones to get stuck into this morning. Iran, there are some incredibly incendiary protests happening at the moment. I think the death toll currently is nearly at 80 for protesters. And this was all sparked by the death of a young woman, Mahsa Amini, who was 22 years old. And it was after her, I guess, detention in police custody that she died. And this has, caused a woman's movement, you could call it, in many ways in Iran. What have you been observing from this, Rod?
Iranian society maybe has reached that moment after all these decades where there is finally an uprising against a very oppressive religious political culture and domination. I have no idea where this is going. But this feels quite different from protests have been before, and it's there's a real empowerment of women going on here, which I think is fundamentally important. One's at a loss to know how this plays out. I'm no great expert on Iran, but just looking at the sort of the dynamics of this after. Some generations now of oppression of various kinds, particularly of women, one can't help wondering if this is the moment that there is a huge pushback against all that that maybe changes the course of history in Iran.
I can't believe I'm having to say very briefly, because there's so much happening in the geopolitical space at the moment, but what's going on in Italy? They've got a new leader coming in there from the Nationalist Brothers of Italy group, which is a very far-right group, you could say a fascist group, I think a lot of people are calling it that. Giorgia Meloni is going to be the new leader of Italy. This is quite alarming, particularly for LGBTQIA folks. This is causing a real concern. Again, what have been some of your first observations from what we're seeing coming out of Italy at the moment?
The first one is that the number of votes that parties of the right attracted in this election were very similar to those attracted by the left. The big difference is that the left was working as something of an alliance and the right wasn't. The right was working as something of an alliance, but the left wasn't. Meloni has been building this position now for many years, and she went to great lengths to reassure the US and Europe before the election that she wasn't she wasn't pro-Russian, she wasn't pro-Chinese, she was very much an Atlanticist, and that she was very orthodox economically. That meant that the financial markets responded with a fair degree of equanimity to her election win in contrast to what happened in the UK with Truss's first budget. She's crafted this position very carefully and built it very steadily over last 10 years or so. But there's no getting away from the fact that she's very hawkish on foreign policy. She's not a European integrationist, and she's very nostalgic about all things nationalistic. And she's very clearly very weak on civil liberties and rights of various kinds. So it's a different kind of right-wing government than we're seeing, for example, with Orban in Hungary. He has no respect for existing laws and has overturned most of them and reduced a lot of freedoms. I don't think she's like that, but she's rather more Trumpian in style in terms of keen to undermine democracy. This is just another example of European countries facing these kinds of challenges. France just narrowly avoided the same political outcome earlier this year, but Spain is next year, and these are all very serious threats to the spirit of and the practicality of European integration in the EU. So she's a very important person to watch, one of the aspects I find most interesting is how carefully she had crafted her position, tried to settle down the US and others in Europe. But she, it'll be really intriguing to see how she uses this power. But I think she will use it somewhat more cautiously than... and I don't think... Well, so what I'm reading from the commentary is not she's not an old style fascist, but she's certainly very weak on civil liberties and very much illiberal in many respects.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod Oram. Always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Thanks. You too. See you, Rachel.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Rod.